17th chapter, the book of Deuteronomy. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from whom thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. Forasmuch as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you so much for the blessed book, the Word of God, for this great privilege we've had this morning to hear it read, and Lord, to learn instructions from it. And Father, once again I ask you, Lord, to take this time and help us, Lord, and give us power and wisdom. And Lord, use this time for yourself, for your benefit, to the working in hearts and lives of we that are Christian, possibly those who may be here without Jesus Christ. Lord, if they are, we pray this be the day they're born into God's family. And once again, we just ask you, have your will, your way in these services, and then we'll pray it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I'm sure I have read this before to this congregation. I don't remember when or what, but I remember reading it. I remember you have read this portion of Scripture. It's an important portion of Scripture. It gives instructions to the people of Israel that when they come into the land that God has given them, and he knew that there would be a day when they would said, we want a king. And of course, there came that day when they wanted a king, and he gave some instructions on what that king was to do. First of all, he was to be someone who was chosen by God himself. He had to be someone of the brethren. In other words, they could not get someone outside of the Israelites. It had to be someone within the brethren. And then he gave some special instructions to the king himself that he was not to multiply himself horses for the sake of multiplying himself horses. In other words, it should not be to build riches. He told them also that it was not to let the people turn back to Egypt. And in the Bible, the Word of God, when it talks about Egypt, it speaks of Egypt as a type of the world. And he was saying unto the king, be sure that the people of Israel do not turn back and go back into the world, as he was instructing them here to not go back to Israel. He said also that he was not to multiply to himself silver and to gold. And he also said that as he was sitting on the throne, he was supposed to get a copy of the law, the Word of God. And he was supposed to make a copy of it. And he was supposed to keep it by his side all the time. And it was from that copy of the Word of God he was to rule the kingdom. And in fact, he even tells us in this portion of Scripture that it was the Word of God here, if he would do that, you notice in the end of verse number 20, he says, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. If you notice there, he said, even if you'll do this, if you'll take the Word of God and you'll rule this kingdom by the Word of God, you'll keep it by your side, you'll read it, you'll study it, he said, not only it'll prolong your lives. And he said, not only that, he'll bless your children. I believe that same principle is true today. I believe if we'll study the Word of God and help us, because the Bible speaks much, we're not speaking on that this morning, but the Bible speaks much about the Word of God and health. We need the Word of God to have good health. We need the Word of God to have our children blessed. And so I say to you, some of these main principles here we hear, is principles, yes, given to Israel as a whole, I understand that, given to them as a whole, but let me say to you, many of these principles are absolutely good for us today. And I say to you, first of all, we're going to go over to the second book, Second Chronicles, and I want to go over there, and that's where I want to start basically my message this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to go through a little bit of history of Israel. Say, oh, Brother Ross, I'm not much on history. This sure sounds like a boring message, but I hope it won't be. I want to take you, we're going to start here in 2 Chronicles, the 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and that's where we're going to start. I guess I could have started other places. I could have started on back, but that's where I've chose to start right here, 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to start, and we're going to look at the history of Israel. And we're going to look at some things that was happening unto them and why they were happening unto them. So we're going to go through some scripture. And so just stick it and listen to what the Bible is saying and teaching us this morning. It is very, very important that we have a godly nation. It's very, very important that we have godly leadership. More than any of us will ever understand. It is so important that we have godliness in leadership places in this nation. Because it matters what happens to the people because of the leadership. And so I'm saying to you today, just as Israel had ups and downs in its leadership, and in fact, we're going to be talking about Judah instead of Israel, the 10 tribes. We're going to talk about Judah, the 2 tribes. And we're going to talk about them basically today and look at their leadership. If you would look at the leadership of Israel, because we know that after Solomon died, the kingdom was split into 2 sections. You have Israel and you have Judah. You have the 2 tribes and you have the 10 tribes. And you'll find in the Chronicles and in Kings telling about the Israelites, the 10 tribes, you'll find that oh so many times it said their kings did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now you'll find that also in Judah, but not near as much. We'll see some of it here this morning as we read, but in Judah you didn't see that as much. You usually see it and says they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But I'm just simply saying we want to look at some things and hear probably the better ones over here in Judah. We're going to look at what happened when there was not godly leadership and when leadership led their country away from God. We're going to start in chapter 24. He says Josiah was 7 years old, and that's first verse, when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Bathsheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. You find an interesting case here where Joash become king. He was 7 years old when he began to reign. But he had a very, very wonderful person. He had a high priest by the name of Jehoiada. And he was a very special person. And in fact, he looked over Joash. And he was the one, in fact, that was responsible for bringing him to the kingdom, as he rightly should have been. And we find in verse number 27, though, we find what had happened before Joash began to rule. In verse number 7 of chapter 24, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did that bestow upon Balaam. You know the story. If you've read this back right before chapter 24, Athaliah, I said Athaliah, it's Athaliah, had that she was a grandma. She killed her grandkids. She was quite a person. And so she killed her grandkids and thought she had killed them all, and she took the headship of Israel, of Judah. She took the headship of it, and she became ruler over it. She got rid of, she thought, all of her grandkids and killed them. But there was one that was saved. Joash was saved. And they hid him for those years, and then Jehoiada was the one, the high priest, that brought him to power and set him up on the kingdom. So we see that in verse number 7 there, the condition when Joash came to the kingdom was a terrible condition. The country was in terrible condition. We find in chapter 24, verse number 14, when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer whereof withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offering in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. We find that what he did is that he repaired the temple. You can read that in verse 8 on down through. But when they got done repairing the temple, we notice that the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, was reestablished. In other words, they went back to doing what God wanted them to do. Where before they'd completely got away from God, leadership had led them away from God. You have here now a man of Joash who is the king, but you have Jehoiada the high priest, which is a tremendous man, and he begins to oversee most of the religious things of the kingdom, and he leads them back to getting back to those sacrifices, leads them, in other words, back to God. Now, we know that Jehoiada, the chief priest here, was responsible, as I said, for bringing Joash to the kingdom. In other words, he was hid, and he's the one that brought him out and established him and ordained him as the king and got him all back where it ought to be. And then we find in verse number 15 and 16, we find that Jehoiada died. It said, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. They buried him in the city of David among the kings. Behold, he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. We find that this chief priest died. Now Joash was now left on his own. And we find in chapter 24, we're not going to read all of the verses, but in chapter 24, if you look at verse number 17, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, then the king hearkened unto them. Here comes some princes along the way. Now Jehoiada had been leading them in a godly way. Here comes some princes, and we're going to find out that they were ungodly people. Ungodly influences back on the king of Joash turned his heart. It says in verse 18, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem from this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And what happened here was that these princes came and said, listen, king, we need to go do this. And they began to bow down to other idols. And Joash went right along with them. God sent prophets to them and warned them of what they was doing, but he said they would not give them ear. I believe America's in that place right today. I believe God is sending prophets all across this land to the ears of the people of America and even to the leadership of America, and warning them and telling them it's time to get back toward God. It's time to come back to him. I believe that's going on. I believe the same situation is there. We're turning instead to idols and all kinds of things has become our gods instead of God being our God. Things and materialistic things has become the God of the American. And now God is warning us and calling out to us and saying, you should not do that. He's sending, if you want to call them prophets, preachers, or whatever you want to send him, but he's sending people all across this land to warn the people they need to get back to God, and many times they will not give ear to it. They just will not listen. So we find, because of that, and of course next in verse number, on down below that, in verse number 20, we find that the king, now imagine this, allowed them to kill the son of Jehoiada. Zechariah was the son of Jehoiada. He rose up and he begins to bring warning against the king and against the people, and saying, God is going to destroy you. And they said, we got to kill this guy. And they killed him, and the king commanded he be killed. Here was the king whom Jehoiada had set on the kingdom. His son, he allowed him to die and be killed, to be slain. Now what happened after that? Well, in verse 23, it says, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all to spoil them unto the king of Damascus. What happened within a year? When they turned away from God, they killed the son of Jehoiada, Zacharias. They killed him. What happened within a year? They was defeated. What I'm saying to you, and we must understand something, this shows the spiritual condition of a nation determines its ability to defend itself. See, we've got this idea out here that we've got all these rockets, we've got all these missiles, we've got these A-bombs and nuke bombs, and we've got them all. We've got all these smart bombs and all these cruise missiles, and we got all of those things, and there no one can take us. We can be taken in a moment. See, they didn't believe that either, but within a year, they was taken, they was destroyed. Why? Because they turned against God. What I'm saying to us, folks, is the spiritual condition of this nation determines our ability to defend ourselves. And we must understand that the spiritual condition of this nation is much more important than how many army men we got. Thank God for the army. Thank God for all the forces that we have. And thank God for all those weapons and all of those things. But folks, without a spiritual direction toward God, they're worthless. We think we're so big and we think we're so powerful and so economically okay. If we're not spiritually okay, we are in deep trouble. I'm saying to a nation, I'm saying to the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we better get our houses in order. Always you'll find in the Word of God that wrong kind of leadership will always bring down a nation. Leadership that does not point us to God will always turn us away from God. And we have leadership in our country today that is not turning us to God, but is turning us away from God. And we better look and we better be careful. We better understand where we are in that situation. So we find in verse number 25 of chapter 24, we find that Joash died. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they carried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the king. We find that Joash died. Right after he died, Amaziah his son become king. Now look in chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But listen to what God added on to that. But not with a perfect heart. He did that which was right with the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now what happened to Amaziah was this. Look over in chapter that same chapter, verse number 14. Came to pass after that Amaziah had come from the slaughter of the Edomites, and I might just stop there. If you read those verses in between there, he was great in war. He had great power, had a great enemy, had a great army, and they just slaughtered the Edomites. In verse number 14, in the middle there, he says, and that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? It came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. If you will notice here, Amaziah started off, it says he did that which was right in the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Wasn't too long, because he didn't have a perfect heart, he was worshiping other idols. Remember, he had gotten strong, powerful, and powerful nation. I mean, no one could defeat him. All at once, he turned to the other idols, turned to the other gods, and all at once, he was defeated immediately. Now, what I'm saying, folks, is our spirituality determines our ability to defend ourselves. I don't care how many weapons we got. It's what we do with God and where we're at with God that makes the difference here in America as it did back here. The same principles that we see here is also true today. So we find him worshiping other gods. I don't know whether you noted or not, but I was just told the other day that President Clinton had made Jesse Jackson his spiritual advisor, officially. So we find in this chapter 25, verse 17, on down through, you find that war came and he was defeated. Amaziah was defeated terribly. and defeated completely. And then in verse number 27 of that chapter, you find that Amaziah died. Listen to what it says about him in verse 27. Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. We find Amaziah dying there in verse number 27, away from God, the country in turmoil. And then all at once in chapter 26, we see his son becomes king. His name is Uzziah. In chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, and then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king into the room of his father Amaziah. Uzziah here was 16 years old. His daddy died when he was 16 years old. He was left as a teenager without a daddy, and he took over the over being king from his father. It says he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old, listen, was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father did. Remember, we found that how his father had come up very short. His father did not have a perfect heart, and so he'd come, and at the end of his life, we find him being defeated, the country being defeated, worshiping other gods, and now we find Uzziah. Now, let me say to you, Uzziah became a very good king. I don't know all the reasons why he became a good king, but he became basically a good king. But then there was something that happened that caused us to understand that he did not do everything like God wanted him to do. If we would go through verse 6 through 15, you'll find that Uzziah took Judah and they become a very strong nation. I mean strong nation in war once again. But now let me show you the flaw of Uzziah in verse number 16, chapter 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were violent men, valiant men. You know, let me say to you, you got 80 priests after you, and they went in after this king. You know why? He was not supposed to be in there offering incense and burning incense. He was not to do it. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appeareth, appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, so out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest of the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yet himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. We find Uzziah here. Yes, he was doing things basically right before the Lord, but he come down and here, there was something very flawed in him. And that was that he had no respect for the house of God whatsoever. And let me say to you, he had no respect for the ways of God and what God wanted done, the way God wanted offerings brought. He had no respect whatsoever for it. And I'm going to show you in just a moment, because of that, his son also had no respect. Let's go over to chapter 27, verse number 1 and 2. Listen, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, and the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Listen, according to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. I want you to notice Uzziah had no respect for the house of God, took over that which he was not supposed to do, and then you come to his son, Jotham, and his son, Jotham, the Bible says, never entered into the temple of God. No respect for it. We're going to find because of that his son became one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. What I'm saying to you folks, we better get some respect back for the house of God. We better understand that the house of God is very important. I know it was not like the temple here. I understand that. But the house of God is a place that God gives its people to gather together and hear the word of God preached and to join together and worship the Lord and love the Lord and learn and go out from here and do the work of God. God has done that for us, and you and I better show respect for the house of God and enter into it if we want our children and their children to enter into it. So we find here that Jotham, here he become king. And then after that, and I'm going to skip over that part as far as Jotham's concerned, go to chapter 28, verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. You notice he doesn't go back to Jotham his father, he goes clear back to David. He said he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I want to say something to you. More than likely, there was never a time when Jotham ever took the hand of Ahaz and led him to the house of God, because the Bible says he never went into the temple of God. If it was like that today, there would never have been a time when Ahaz ever came and heard a Sunday school teacher tell him how much they love him and tell him how much Jesus loved him. Ahaz never had an opportunity to go in and see the sacrifices that was offered, the blood sacrifices that were offered for the sins of the people, because his daddy never took him. I'm just saying to you folks, we better realize that we better get it back straight. We better get our families in the house of God. We better get our families loving God and walking with God and serving God every day of our life. Because it is going to have an effect. Here it's passed on down. It's got worse. And we find in verse number 2 of chapter 28, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. You see, it makes mention there of the kings of Israel, because most of those did not that which was right in the eyes of God. And also molded images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He burnt his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Look over at verse number 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed so sore against the Lord. Do you notice here God specifically says he brought down the nation of Israel because of its leader? We better listen up. We better hear. He brought Judah low because of Ahaz and the wickedness of Ahaz. Look at verse number 21. Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria. But he helped him not. Look at verse number 22. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sanctified unto the gods of Damascus and smote him, and he smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, and they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. See, it was the ruin of him and all Israel. Again, I'm saying to you folks, you must understand something. You must look at this and understand something. It does make a difference. The leadership does make a difference. We're in trouble in America. We're in deep trouble. We need godliness in high places in America. People who will simply look out and say, there's God, let's all go to church this Sunday. We need a president that'll get on TV if he has to in the airways and say, let's call a day of fasting and prayer. Let's call to our God because we need help. We need a president that will repent and do right and turn back to his God and do what's right to do. Or our nation is in real serious problems. Hezekiah, his son, became king. Hezekiah became a good king. He done some good things. If you look with me in chapter 29, he says Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. Now listen, verse 3. He in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. If you'll study the Word of God, you go back and read those verses about Ahaz. Ahaz has closed the doors to the house of God. That's what it tells us back in that portion of Scripture. He had shut them up in verse 24. It says, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. We find then when a new king, Hezekiah, comes along and opens up the doors to the house of God. And I say to you folks, because of those open doors, revival came to Judah. I'm saying to you today, we need the doors of the house of God opened up. And we need people coming in them. We need the people of this community walking in doors where they hear the Word of God. We need that to take place. We need that to happen. We need revival in this country of ours. I'm not going to go over there, but Josiah on over in the book, we find that Josiah became king and he found the Bible, the book, the Word of God, and under the rubble in the temple. And because of that, there was a great revival that took place. We need the house of God open, the doors open, and we need the book, the Word of God proclaimed. And revival can come to this nation. I'm not going to go back over to all of these portions of Scripture. I do want to go back over to 1 Kings. We need to do that. 1 Kings, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, the Edomites, and the Sidonites, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. I'm not going to read any more of that. You can read it. You've read it before. But what I'm saying to you, the reason Solomon got in trouble and the nation in return got in trouble was because of his love for strange women that was not his wife. I'm saying to you, we have a problem in America. And the same judgment that he gave them, he can give this country here. You don't get by with immorality and setting the standard of immorality in a country as a leader and get by with it. For the nation itself is going to suffer because of that. You want to go, and I'm not going to take you over there, but if you want to go over to the book of Judges, the 14th chapter, you find that Samson had the same problem. Three different times it's told about Samson. He had three different women in the book of Judges, and they were all ungodly women. They were not women of Israel, of the Israelites. And they was all kind. One of them was called a harlot. Delilah, you know about her. What I'm saying to you is this. Because of that, Samson lost his hair. He lost his power with God. He lost his eyes. And he lost his life. And the nation, that great nation, absolutely lost its ability to do anything right. In fact, the years after Samson, they was in a state of confusion from them on clear through to the book of Judges, doing that which was right in their own eyes with no king in Israel. And what I'm saying to you folks is this. Immorality, God will not stand for. It will have an effect upon not only those who are partaking of it, but also those who are under those that are partaking of it. Leadership is supposed to set a standard for its people. Now you and I have basically a different leader than the world has. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a civil leader, a government leader. And he is to set a standard for us as a people. Leaders are supposed to lead in godliness. They're supposed to point people to God. I'm saying to you, our leaders ought to get, and they ought to cry out, and they ought to say, let's all go to church Sunday. Let's all turn back to God. They ought to point us back. Instead, they're not doing that. You don't hear that from our government officials.
Not only that, leaders are to lead in morality. They're to set a standard of morality for this country. And let me say to you, they lead in everything that they allow the nation to do while it's under their watch. A leader is supposed to have the book, the Bible, by his side and rule from it. Not suppose if he had that Bible, he wouldn't be allowing abortion. He didn't start the abortion, but he's expanded it. You wouldn't have the sodomites in places of responsibility in the White House. Instead, they would be run out as the Bible, the Word of God, commands they be. And you wouldn't have the immorality that we're seeing today in the people if there was not leadership above that is okay in that immorality. Don't you know, as it says back here in one of those kings that we read about, it says, and the people continuously done corruptly. Don't you know that leadership and its inability to lead morally is going to pass down upon the people? Don't you understand why these polls that are being taken, they're saying it's going, his popularity is going up? It's because the people have learned to love that kind of morality. I'm saying to you folks, we're in sad shape in this country. And we need revival. Let me ask you a couple questions. If you know, you don't call it out, but if you know who the Secretary of State of the United States is, would you just raise your hand? Secretary of State of the United States of America. Okay, thank you. If you know who the UN representative to the UN from the United States is, would you just raise your hand? Very few. Now, it's all right if you don't. I'm not trying to put you on a spot. Very few raised their hand. Who's the Secretary of Defense? Knows? Okay. If you know, Secretary of Defense. Who's the Secretary of Commerce? I think there's one new Secretary of Commerce. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Now I want you to do something for me. Who's Jennifer Flowers? Who is Jennifer Flowers? If you know who she is, raise your hand. Hands all over this. Who's Monica Lewinsky? Who's Mrs. Wiley? Hands are going up all over this. You know why we know them? Because of leadership. What I'm saying to you folks, our nation is obsessed with this thing. We mainly don't know the cabinet members of the United States government, but we know who these people are. And what we need is repentance. We need a nation and its people and its leaders to repent and come back to God. You don't find too much sorrowfulness. Folks, you're Christian. Most of you are Christian here today. When I say this, you'll probably say, well, I'm sorry about it. You may be, but you don't find too much sorrow in America today about what's going on in Washington. It's just taken as that's all right. We're in real, real trouble. You know what God does? He withdraws his hand of protection. Because the spiritual condition of this nation absolutely matters as to our ability to defend ourselves. Don't feel too safe with all the rockets and missiles. When we got ungodliness covering this whole land of America. Say, Brother Ross, what can we do about it? Let me tell you what I would do if I was here this morning and I was unsaved. First thing I would do is I'd get ready to meet my God. I'd put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. And he wants to save your soul. Above all, I would get ready to meet him. I'd get my sins forgiven by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're not saved, you need him. Secondly, if I was saved and I knew I was saved, I'd do everything under my power to strengthen my Christian life and to strengthen my faith in God Almighty. I believe something with all of my heart. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not trying to bring prophecy of doom. I'm just simply saying this. I know what the Bible says. And God does not put up with what's going on in America. He's not going to put up with it. If I was you as a Christian, what I would do is I'd do everything I can to strengthen my Christian life, my faith in God, and I would walk with God and I'd serve God. I'd do everything I could to get people to know Christ. I'd be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'd do everything within my power, what God would want me to do, to live the right kind of life and do what God wanted me to do. I'd do that right now. I'd start right now. You see, we all think we've got it made, the economy's great, all these things are going on. We just don't understand. The spiritual life of the people affects the ability to defend themselves. And our nation is in spiritual trouble. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you and I today, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If not, come to this altar this morning. Come up here and let us take the Word of God and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or if you want to, just where you sit, where you stand, just say, I want to be a Christian. I want to call upon Christ. And then let us know that that's what you did. And also, and we as Christians, let us be assured that our lives are what they ought to be for God. That our faith is strengthened, that it grows, and that we're ready to meet that which is going to come upon this nation because of the immorality of this nation. I'm just saying to you that leadership makes a difference. It determines what's going to happen in a nation, just like leadership in a church determines and makes a difference in a church. You understand what I'm saying? And that's true of any other kind of leadership too, no matter what it is. It makes a difference. You daddies that lead your home, it makes a difference what kind of daddies you are. Because it's going to determine what kind of family you're going to raise. See, leadership does make a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace and your wonderful mercy to us. Lord, help us to understand that the things that we've learned today. Help us, Father, to realize if we're unsaved, we need to get saved. And Father, if we're not right with you as a Christian, we're not doing right, our faith is weak. Lord, help us to turn back to you and do that which is right to do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.